Night Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Good morning. Welcome. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And we want to welcome retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. He is here for another edition of Ask the Law, made possible by Old Blue USA. Go to their website anytime, askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button to submit your CMD questions. You can do that 24/7, and they'll get back to you as soon as possible with the answers. I want to remind you that the answers on today's program and all the information is up to date as of today, Monday, October 3rd, 2011, can change without notice, and comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. All right, we had some questions off the air. Greg, our producer and screener, was talking to some folks that had some questions about these four members of Congress, these Republicans who have a problem with hours of service, that are saying basically if the Obama administration changes the hours of service, that they have promised to step in. We'll get into more of that here in just a few minutes. Okay. And bring you the story from our friend Lyndon Finney over at thetrucker.com. He wrote about this several days ago, and we've talked about it, but we realize that not everybody hears the show every single day or goes to thetrucker.com, although I would recommend you go to thetrucker.com every single day.
Yes.
And get updated.
I do.
I do too. I mean, it's you feel like, because like on Friday night, we don't work Friday or Saturday nights. And sometimes I have to remind myself, hey, I didn't check in. There could be breaking news going on. Usually, Lyndon will call me if there's something huge, but you got to keep up with it, and they do a really good job at that.
So we'll
get back to that here in just a moment. But let's get back to your calls at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Gary in Oklahoma. Gary, hi. You're on the Midnight Raider Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I drive for a company, and we were told that we had 11 hours available for drive time and a total of 14 hours drive time and on-duty time. And a friend of mine works for another company. He said, no, you're allowed up to 14 hours of drive time.
No.
I just thought my company was right, and I thought he was wrong, but he kept arguing with me.
Well, first off, Gary, does your company... do they transport interstate freight? And interstate freight means freight coming from one state going to another state.
Well, we haul heavy equipment, and we have offices in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas City.
Here's what I'm trying to get at is a lot of states have variations to the interstate rules.
Okay.
As an example, if you pick a load up in Texas, and you drop that load in Texas, then you could fall under the intrastate regulations.
Okay.
Those regulations are a little bit different than what they are on the interstate side. So it could be that some states will allow a variance in the number of hours a driver can drive when they are involved in intrastate freight only.
Okay. Well, our main offices are in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Do you ever leave the state?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. If here again, there's a lot of companies that will take, and because of the simplicity, they put all of the drivers under the interstate regulations. And they do that that way they don't have to worry about, well, this driver can only go this place, you know, this driver can only go interstate, this driver can only stay intrastate. So they just put them all under the interstate rules. That way they can pick the phone up, tell this driver you can go from point A to point B and to point C to point D, and just, you know, a roundabout deal. But the interstate rules, the way they work is you have a maximum of 11 hours driving. Your total duty time is not to exceed 14 hours, which includes up to 11 hours driving.
Okay, well, that's what I thought, and he kept arguing with me. You know, well, then I got confused. I said, well, maybe he is right. So I want to talk to somebody that knew something.
No, just get you a copy of the current regulations. And if you've got one that has been printed since January of 2004. You can go to 395-3, and that's where you'll find the driving hours listed.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Gary. Do appreciate that. 800-288-9227. Oh, this is a good question. Let's go to Mark in Dallas here at 800-288-9227. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. Question I have for Trooper there.
Okay.
Part-time driver contracting out his services, running something like a pickup truck, with a number of businesses where he's pulling their utility trailers to a job site, maybe crossing state lines, may cross several state lines. He delivers the trailer. They have no additional work for him. Is that time driving back home, pulls the magnetic signs off of the truck, does that truck now become a personal vehicle going back home, and is that time loggable?
The answer is you have to log it. You cannot use personal conveyance time to log it back. What you do is once the driver is no longer operating a vehicle subject to the regulations, you have to log it as on duty, not driving, but the time has to be recorded in the logbook.
Okay.
So you have dropped, let me get this right here, Mark. You've dropped their trailer, and then you take the magnets off of the sign, or are you still pulling the trailer when you go home?
No, you're not pulling the trailer. All you're doing is relocating the trailer to a job site, and they tell you they've got no work for you, and so you go on home. You're doing it on a part-time basis.
Right, but the trailer is still attached to the pickup?
No. He drops it. He's going from, let's say, Dallas to Little Rock.
Okay.
He pulls the trailer up to Little Rock, and he drops it at a construction site.
At a job site. Okay.
Job site.
Okay.
Now then he's going to go back from Little Rock back to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
The thing is, the pickup truck is not, because based on the size of the truck's going to be less than 10,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He's not subject to the DOT regulations driving back. But the fact is, he's got to get back from point B back to point A, and he has to show it as on duty, not driving. He doesn't show it as a driving because he's not operating a regulated vehicle, but he has to get back to point A where he started from. So what he does, he just logs it as on duty, not driving.
Does that make sense, Mark?
Okay, so that would be a line 4 then.
Yes,
on duty, not driving, because again, he's not subject to the regulations.
Correct.
But he's still essentially working as a part of the job.
Yes.
Okay. Would it be wrong for him to log it, since he has to log it anyway, as on-duty driving?
The thing is, if he logs it as on-duty driving,
he's eating into that 11 hours.
Right. He's going to end up being in over 11-hour driving violation.
Okay.
Whereas if he logs driving from here to Little Rock, then once he gets to Little Rock, he's no longer in a regulated vehicle. So what he does is he goes to on-duty, not driving, and he can work as long as he want to in the on-duty, not driving.
As long as he doesn't go over 70 for the week.
Right, as long as he doesn't go over 70 for the week, or he stops and takes a 10-hour break, now then he has a new 11 hours to drive.
Okay. So all that makes sense, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay.
The reason I'm asking is because a friend of mine is looking at getting into that with a company that's doing this for oil companies and road construction companies that are pulling their RVs and their utility trailers, dropping them at a job site, and then he's off to do whatever he wants to do from that point on until they call him to move another one.
Right.
Well, the problem lies, Mark, is when the driver starts filling his logbook out. And there are a few troopers out there that will take and understand what's going on. But the biggest majority of them, whenever you show them a logbook and you show that you started at point A and you go to point B, and then all of a sudden the next day you're in point C, and they start asking questions, well, how did you get from point B to point C? Well, there a lot of times the troopers or the inspectors have a hard time understanding the explanations that drivers try to explain to them. Whereas if you take it and show it as a on-duty, not driving situation, going back from point B back to point A, you're not chewing up. The only thing that you're chewing up is your 70-hour clock. And most of them will sit there, and it makes it a whole lot easier for a trooper or an inspector to sit there and look at the logbook and see what's going on.
Okay. All right. We're back here in just a moment. More Ask the Law right after this
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All right, we want to remind you all the information on Ask the Law is up to date as of today. October 3rd, 2011 can change without notice, and comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's get right back to you at 800-288-9227.
And we have Mike in Arkansas on the line. Mike, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome.
Yes, sir. I was wondering if you knew whether or not they had extended the exemption for hauling hay as far as being over height or over width or over length a little bit on your trailer.
Honestly, Mike, I have not heard. I did talk with Lieutenant Key out at the DPS office in Garland and this week, but that conversation about the hay never did come up.
Okay. The bales that I'm picking up are 5.5 feet around, and of course, you know, we stack them too high.
Right, right.
The flatbed trailer is, I measured it a while ago, it's about 4'8", so it's going to be a little bit over height, it seems like to me. I don't think it's going to be hanging over the trailer, over the edges, but I looked up online, it said there was an exemption, but it didn't really state what the exemption was for, but it also said that it ended September 30th.
Yes.
Unless they were going to extend it, but it didn't say whether they extended it or not.
I haven't heard at all. What you might do is I can give you the number to the local DPS office, and you can give them a call tomorrow morning or this morning and talk to them, and they can probably tell you whether or not it has been extended.
Okay. Is that the permits office?
No. No, it's not the permit office. What you're going to do is you're going to call the DPS office in Garland.
Okay.
And you're going to talk to Commercial Vehicle Enforcement.
Okay.
And their number is 214-861-2221.
2221?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll call them in the morning. I appreciate it.
Hey, we thank you, Mike, and send us an email. Let us know what they told you on the answer. Thank you so much. Speaking of emails, we had a call, or got an email, rather, from James in Wascom, and he wants to know. He says, Dear Eric, my company is saying that under DOT regs now, we must get tank endorsement pulling a van, even if we have over 1,000 gallons of liquid, as in over 3 totes. Hazmat or not? Could you find out if this is true or not? Thank you, Jimmy. And apparently, that is true.
Yes. Yes, it is. There is an interpretation in 38395, question number 6. And it reads, does an unattached tote or a portable tank with a cargo capacity of 1,000 gallons or more meet the definition of a portable tank requiring a tank vehicle endorsement on the driver's CDL? And it's yes.
The answer is yes.
So, here again, if it's one package that's 1,000 gallons or more, then he has to have the tank endorsement.
And if it's hazmat, you looked it up and it was 119 gallons or more?
Right. If it's a if you're hauling hazardous materials, what they do is they look at 119 gallons as they deem that to be a bulk package.
Okay.
And a bulk package requires the tank endorsement along with the hazmat endorsement.
So if it's hazmat, it has to be, if it's hazmat, 119 gallons or more, you have to have that tank endorsement along with the hazmat endorsement.
Right.
So, yes, 1,000 gallons or more non-hazmat in one package there, Jimmy, you do have to have the tank endorsement. So there's your answer. Back with Ask the Law here in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227, and Ask the Law. Welcome and good morning, Gary McNamara, along with Eric Carley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, October 3rd, 2011, here with retired senior trooper Monty Donald of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA. They've been sponsoring this segment for many years now, and we certainly appreciate that. All the answers are up to date as of today, can change without notice, and we want to remind you that the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website, and let's get back to you, 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Harold in Fort Worth, Texas. Harold, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network, you're on Ask the Law, welcome, hi.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
Trooper Dial, I got a question. I've always been confused about using your big truck and personal conveyance. I will drop my trailer somewhere and I want to go to the grocery store or restaurant or just go drop a line in the water somewhere. What are the rules on personal conveyance?
Okay. Do you have access to the internet, Harold?
No, sir.
Okay. Do you have a friend? What you need to do, Harold, is in the DOT regulations, there is an interpretation. It's in Part 395.1, Question 26, and it deals with personal conveyance. If you are what we call en route, you're going from point A to point C, and you stop at point B in the middle. You drop your trailer, you go to a restaurant, you go shopping, go wet a line, whatever. You can do all of that as personal conveyance. The second part of that interpretation is once you get to point C, there is a terminal. You drop the trailer. Now then you're going to go home, provide, and the part of it is you have to go back to where you dropped your trailer. All of that can be done as personal conveyance.
So I have to go back. Okay.
Once you get
my trailer at point A and I go fishing at point B, I got to go back to point A.
Yes.
Then
right. If yes. While you're en route, see, there's two parts to this interpretation. One is while you're en route, you can drop the trailer, do some shopping, things like that. You go back, pick your trailer up, and you continue on with your trip. Not a problem there. The other portion of that is interpretation is when, let's say that you're coming up on the weekend, Friday afternoon, you get into the terminal, you drop your trailer. You're going to drive your tractor. You're going to bobtail your tractor home. You've got to go back to where you dropped your trailer to start your next trip. That, from the terminal to your residence back to the terminal, that can be also logged as off-duty.
Okay, from where I dropped my trailer at on Friday night.
Uh-huh.
To I go home.
Yes.
In my big truck.
Yes. You go back to where
I use my tractor, my truck, my big truck, as personal conveyance anywhere between that time.
Yeah,
I've always been confused about that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. If you can get access to the internet, look up that interpretation, and it explains everything in black and white to you.
I can't even program the damn TV for
I feel your pain.
Yeah.
I was messing with this stuff over the weekend, Harold, and it's not fun. But, okay, because I brought a question up to you off the air about personal conveyance when we had the caller earlier that mm-hmm. had the pickup, and he was going from basically, let's say, Texas to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
He delivers that trailer there. And then he's got to basically go home. When he's driving home, he's taking the magnets off the pickup truck, no trailer, no load on board. He is not under regulation. However, he still has to log that as on-duty not driving.
Correct. Because he has to get back to the starting point.
Okay. In a tractor trailer, let's say you work for a company and you take that tractor or you take that you take the tractor trailer from Dallas and you go to Kentucky mm-hmm. and you drop the trailer and that was its destination point.
Okay.
Now you've got the rest of the weekend off. He can use the tractor as personal conveyance to run around town.
Correct.
To go fishing or do whatever.
Right.
Until he's dispatched again.
Correct.
Now, what if he is going back to Dallas?
He's got to log it back.
He's got to, that's because that's part of the job.
Yes.
In order to get dispatched again, he's going to have to go back to Dallas. So he's got to log that as
driving.
Driving time.
Right.
Okay. Because he is under regulation.
Yes.
Under in that vehicle.
Right.
Okay. There you go. 800-288-9227. One more question before the break.
We go to Lee in Kentucky. Lee, hi. You're on the Midnight Rider Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi. Hello, Lee.
Yes.
You're
yes. I had two questions. One, if I can revisit that driver that called in just a while ago asking about tanker endorsements. I believe he said that he was hauling 330-gallon totes. So
he said
not require a tanker endorsement. Is that correct?
No, he said 1,000 gallons liquid, as in over three totes.
So if you have more than three totes and your total is over 1,000, you require a tanker endorsement, even though the single unit is only 330.
No. One package has to be 1,000 gallons.
Okay, so if I have 15 totes. And they're just 330 gallons. It does not require an endorsement there, correct? Okay.
You're saying the 15 totes don't total more than 1,000 gallons.
Each package has to be 1,000 gallons.
Each package has to be 1,000.
Right.
Each tote has to be 1,000
right.
gallons. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
The other question I had, because you just tell us what's coming down the pike as far as onboard recorders. There's a lot of rumors floating around. I've heard that it's coming next year. I've heard that it's only going to be for trucking companies who have 15 or more trucks. Could you just in general tell us what's coming as far as onboard recorders?
Well, Lee, right now we don't know. That's another one of those mysteries. I know that FMCSA had an NPRM that they were getting ready to move to a final rule that was only going to affect the worst of the worst motor carriers, but they got challenged on that, and that got put on the back burner. I know that FMCSA is looking at later this year, possibly the first part of next year, introducing another NPRM, making EOBRs mandatory for everybody. But as of right now, you know, there is nothing out there other than talk.
Okay.
So there you have it. I mean, they're still working on a law. That law would require the FMCSA to at some point issue a rule that would require
right.
all commercial vehicles to have an EOBR, but we're still waiting to hear on that.
Yeah,
we have
that,
not heard anything
yeah.
on, from the no notice of proposed rulemaking from.
No, there hasn't FMCSA. Been an NPRM issued at all. Like
right.
I say, FMCSA has talked that they have one that they're fixing to release. But as of right now, there has been no notice of proposed rulemaking. to make EOBRs mandatory for everybody.
Yeah. And there was, and you know, you recall the recent, in late August, there was a recent ruling against, and that was OOIDA's challenge of the first EOBR rule, which would have required EOBRs for only those companies that had a history of non-compliance in these compliance reviews. And that went back to, you know, I guess is going back to the drawing board, or some believe what the FMCSA will do is now act under Congress's direction.
Yes.
To go in and just create an NPRM that goes across the board that is required for all commercial vehicles. But again, there's nothing official yet. We don't know. So as soon as we do, we will let you know, Lee. And we're back to you in just a moment on Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Good morning. Ask the Law. Gary McNamara, Eric Hurley.
All right. We want to thank R.J. Taylor, Old Blue USA, and Trooper Dial for their dedication to safety on this continuing program here that we bring to you once a month. Ask the Law will return in November, and we just may know something on hours of service then, right?
We might.
I've been here six and a half years now, and nothing has changed.
But we have the deadline sometime in October is what we're told. And,
right.
And that's why we believe it'll happen in October. But we had a call earlier because we were talking about, as we started the show, about the four Republicans. Here's basically what has happened. And you can see this story at thetrucker.com. You have to go into the archives, but you'll see it. Or at our website, midnighttrucking.com. But basically, four Republicans have sent a letter to the president and sent a letter to the Obama administration saying that if they change the hours of service from its current rule now, that they will do, and they haven't specified what they will do, but they had said they will intervene.
Right.
So we don't know what they would do. We can assume they're going to, if they're lawmakers, they'll make a law.
Mm-hmm.
So those four Republicans are John Mica, they are John Duncan. They, by the way, John Mica is from Florida. He is the chairman of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. John Duncan is of Tennessee, Bill Schuster of Pennsylvania, and Sam Graves of Missouri. And all of them, again, are Republicans, and they are saying they do not want the current hours of service rule changed. And if it does change, they have said they will step in and do something. We can only assume that means make a law. Remember, the hours of service is a rule. It is not a law. So we'll see what happens.
One of the things that they that I read where they went in and kind of tooted the horn that most truck drivers and most of the trucking companies are in agreement is that the current hours of service have reduced the number of crash related vehicles.
Yes.
And they're saying that by going in and making some of these changes, that it's going to put more trucks out on the road.
Something we've said.
And so this is one of the things that they came in and said, everything's fine. Leave it alone. Yep. Don't make any changes.
Right, right. We're doing well under this current rule. Let's not make any changes. So, all right, go out and make it a great month. We'll talk to you in November, and it may be a very exciting Ask the Law then.
Yes, it will.
All right. It is the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227.